Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
To the season, they are now 14-30, but playing a little bit better baseball, 11-8 over their recent stretch.
Oh yeah, count it. Keith McPherson roll call. I just need John Flaherty to stop calling the game so we can get that audio. I actually should check in with WFAN Yankees Radio Network and see if we have the audio from the broadcast that I did with Justin Shackle. Maybe we got a cleaner clip of that. Anyway, back on the Fan in New York, the last caller was mentioning being at the game where the Bleacher Creatures chanted Keith McPherson. It was sick. I mean, I'm calling a game. And shout out to Tina, the queen of the bleachers, and Mark, who leads the roll call. They did not say anything to me, and all the creatures in the group chat did not say anything about doing a Keith McPherson roll call. But, like, that is the most example of a, like, one of us chant that, like, you can get. Prior to that, John Sterling had his name chanted, and I think Don Mattingly had his name chanted loud enough where you could hear it. But that was special, man. That was something when I get older, or when my son gets older and I'm, you know, older and can explain things to him, right? The roll call is not going anywhere. I know how it works. I know how it happens. I know how many fan bases try to imitate it, often imitated, never duplicated, because they don't have the system down that the creatures have to make sure it goes off every single game. I've led the roll call and I've been able to get a roll call, and I have video and audio of both. So when my son is old enough, and he's been to the stadium, this is his first season coming to the stadium, but when he's old enough to come out into the bleachers and he hears the roll call for the players, before we do that, I'm going to show him, hey, here's a video of Daddy leading the roll call, getting Aaron Judge's attention in center field. I think it was Judge when I did the roll call. And then here's also a roll call where Dad was sitting in for Susan Waldman and the gang chanted my name. And that's such an honor because I didn't play. I'm not a player, and there's only a few people that get to a level of, you know, getting to get that honor. So shout out to the gang, the Creatures 203, La Bodega family, Terrace Squad, TS, we're on. And we're on the Fan taking calls until 12 o'clock, so I've got about 50 minutes left. Like I said, it's open mic time, whatever you guys want to talk about. I wanted to talk about that. That's what I led off with, but now I will pass it off to you. Val is up in the Bronx. Val, you're back on the Fan.
Vance, what's good, King? How you doing, my man?
All right. There's just not much on TV. You know, I'm watching this Miami-Ohio Ball State football game and taking calls and hosting the show.
All right. Well, I want to talk some Yankees with you, but if I could say one thing real quick about the Knicks, because somebody mentioned it earlier. Yo, I wish the goodness that MSG, TNT, ESPN, that they run that graphic, like how the YES Network runs it with the umpires, the head officials. On each game, because last night, son, I know we lost the game and I'm not crying, but they tried to officiate our physicality and let them Houston boys beat us up like it did not even matter.
And Val, you remember the shenanigans that went on in Houston last year, right, at the end of the game?
They kept running it during the game. I had to call out of work because I was sick yesterday and I had to stay home and watch that. Yo, it made me even more sick. But to get to why I really called you, I'd like to talk about some stuff with the Yankees. Three things real quick on Soto with the free agency and one thing about that David Roberts quote that, or sound that you played. With Soto, okay, first point, I want to understand why it is that people keep acting like the Yankees never had a plan to re-sign Soto, even going back to, like, you know, we got yelled at for how we underwhelmed in the trade deadline. And I kept telling people all of that was because they're trying to do two things at the same time. As much as it upset some people, they were looking at the future and trying to make sure that they had flexibility when it came time to put money across for Soto. And the fact that we even made it as far as we did and made so much money this season means that they only have that much more money to add to their plan. So I don't understand why people keep acting like they never had one. You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah, you don't give up that much for a player and just say, ah, it's a one-year deal. No, you're 100% going to be in on retaining that player. You've given up the most for him, so why wouldn't you try?
Not only that, we were trying to make sure that we held on to our young kids to keep them low at cost. We knew we had money coming off the books, and even the trade that the one guy that sustained in the trades that we did make, as far as Chisholm, is somebody who we have under team control for a nice number. So all of that stuff plays into it too. And like I said, the fact that we went as far as we did means that we only have that much more money to add on top of those plans that we already had in place. The second point I'd like to make, for us out there as far as Yankee fans that are trying to tell me that there are all these other options as far as, like, why do we have to put all this money into Soto? Couldn't we do this with Soto? Yo, let me just remind people that our market and our pinstripes are heavy, and our team is the kind of team that not any and everybody that's out there that you might think is prospective to come here is actually going to work out when they do come here. You know for a fact there is no unknown with what Soto does when he's in the Bronx. There is no unknown with how Soto performs in this market. You already know that. So I'm just saying, caution yourselves as far as all these alternative plans that people got in place and all that other stuff.
And two great points. Go on.
The third point I'd like to make about it, too, is that do not get caught up in the sound bites that you hear from Cashman or anybody else as far as Boris or even Soto or even other teams. There's four kind of propaganda that's going to be going on right now. There's the Yankees trying their best not to set the floor for whatever numbers out there, but being able to pounce on whatever comes through. There's going to be Boris and Soto doing their best to let everybody believe that they are as unbiased and as naked as possible when it comes to looking at any kind of offers that are out there so that everybody's open because they want the biggest number that's out there. And then there's going to be these smoke screens that come from other teams because everybody's going to be trying to throw their own little disinformation out there to play themselves either in or out of it, depending on how they feel. So you got to just wait for a second or two until at least a bare parameter gets announced as far as what's going on, and then you see how everything is going to play out. The last point I'd like to make, if I can, and I'd like to thank you for playing that Dave Roberts sound because, yo, never mind the knucklehead idiot hater that was Joe Kelly. That nonsense, especially, I hate when people that don't even have anything to do with
me
the equation got a chirp.
You should be the quietest. But you came along for the ride.
Thank you. You know what I'm saying? Bend the breeze, brother. We don't need to hear you. But as far as like what Dave Roberts said, I've been saying it for the longest. People keep acting like, you know, and I hear you. If we didn't win it, to some extent, we were embarrassed. But people keep acting like this was so far blown out and all that. That last game right there, Roberts told you that he was afraid of exactly what I was feeling them first four and two-thirds innings as we got into that game. And to some extent, even after that, one of your callers said it also. One of your callers said it also. They just barely got away. It was two sack flies versus one sack fly that gave them that game. I'm not trying to, like, you know, put any hypotheticals on it or any, but I was getting the feeling that thing was swinging. And even the way that the team was, like, you know, how late it was and how delayed it was before they actually made themselves available to the media. There was a lot of, like, you know, upset in that room because they realized just how close they were to flipping this and actually having a chance to make history. And they all, never mind what happened in that fifth inning, because it did happen and it was bad, but that was early in the game and there were opportunities later on. They all let each other down. And hopefully, like you said, them is the kind of things that I hate to sound like the, you know, cheer it up, whatever. But them is the kinds of things that got to drive people in the offseason to make sure stuff like them fundamental conversations that we need to have about how we get our mind right. Because that's the first thing I heard so far to tell me how to get me ready. It's not that they can't play defense. We had mental gaps that stopped us from doing the thing. So it's the stuff that we got to drill in our
gotta
heads
lock
to
in.
Make sure that we
As
are
I said, they got to have a word or a hand signal or something that they throw up to be like, the time is now. Val, thank you so much for the call. I thought that was great. I agree. Going back quickly before we go to the next call at 888-808-1019, there's a paper trail, right? I know I was mad that they didn't go out and get Tanner Scott or add at the deadline, and I felt like it reared its ugly head in the postseason when you're relying on Clay Holmes or Tommy Kane Lee or Jake Cousins isn't what you thought anymore. You got to play with your usage of Luke Weaver. You don't have those guys. Like you're relying on Mark Leiter Jr., who was good, but like he wasn't even on the roster until Ian Hamilton got hurt fielding his position. But there was a paper trail there. The writing was on the wall that, like, okay, we gave up all of this and made the trade for Juan Soto in the beginning of the year. Also, we have guys that are cost-effective playing for us this year, like an Austin Wells, like an Anthony Volpe, like an Oswaldo Cabrera, like Luis Gil. We have money coming off the books, like a Clay Holmes, like an Anthony Rizzo, like an Alex Verdugo, like a Gleyber Torres, where we can afford to pay Soto. We know how much he's going to cost. And we know that the pinstripes are not heavy for him. There was no adjustment for him. There was no slow start for him. Like, he came out ready to play in Houston, and he had so many moments, and you can't put a price on that. Because how many guys have you seen here from Joey Gallo fail, Sonny Gray fail, I don't know, Chris Carter, Jacoby Ellsbury. There's a long list of guys that you've seen come to Yankee Stadium and not be who you thought they were. Fold under the pressure of 45,000 fans on a random Tuesday in the summer. All of the added media attention. Man, you pay to go get Juan Soto because you know he's not affected by that. And then when you talk about the smoke screens and the mixed signals, and the messaging right now, it is the lukewarm stove. The stove is not hot. So, yeah, that's why I laugh when they asked, did Pete Alonso's name come up? And Cashman, yeah, of course, yep. Yeah, his name, yeah, we talked about him. They're not in on Pete Alonso, but they got to make it seem like that, right? This is going to be an interesting offseason, how it all plays out. And an even more interesting offseason into spring training with what type of Yankees team you see. If Judge is the leader and captain that they have tagged him to be, he will lead by example. He will set the tone. He will never forget that drop ball that led to the unraveling in the fifth inning where, yes, after the game they all had, you know, red eyes and there were sobbing reported. Yeah, because they were 1 foot in the air. They thought they were flying to Los Angeles the way they came out. And all of us believed the hugs and high fives and beers and popcorn thrown in the air the way that that game started, Judge and Jazz back-to-back and a belly-to-belly, everyone believed. Everyone thought, this is happening. We're making history tonight as the first team to start off 0-3 and then force a game 6. And then once you get back to L.A., like people actually said, there's going to be a pissed-off Carlos Rodon. I'm like, come on, yo. A pissed-off Carlos Rodon, like, ooh, yeah, me and Zoo just did the same motion at the same time with our hands. Ooh, a pissed off Carlos Rodon. But like, that's what people were talking. People were asking me, yo, are you going to LA? I'm like, no, nah, I'm going to stay right here, bro. I don't know what's going to happen, but it never happened. Finish the job. I know when I got on that night, I said, let that be a lesson to you in life. It ain't over till it's over. Don't go through the motions. Run through the tape. 888-808-1019 as we run through the tape on this five-hour show. Josh is in Passaic. Josh, you're back on the fan. How you been?
Good, Keith, and how are you?
I'm good. I'm blessed and highly favored, man. I love to get to do these five-hour shows. I got another one coming up soon.
I hope to be on that. Obviously, now it's all been good, Keith. And actually, first, I want you to just tell me if it was a good trade or not. In my fantasy league, I gave George Pickens, Mondre Stevenson, Jordan Mason, and Tank Bigsby for Baker Mayfield and Jahmyr Gibbs. Well, I already have.
Wait. Hold on. You gave away four players?
Yeah. I need more space in my roster to pick up people.
Pickens, Ramondre Stevenson, Jordan Mason, and who else?
And Tank Bigsby, Jordan Stevenson, Pickens,
Okay, and who'd you get back?
I got two. What?
Who'd you get back?
Gibbs and Mayfield.
I don't know. I guess Gibbs is going to get you points. And you, I don't know. Someone just tried to trade me Mayfield today, but Mayfield is without his two top receivers. He's, I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. But like you said, what's your record right now?
I'm 4-5 now. Brutal loss.
You're trying to shake things up. May the odds be ever in your favor right now. My team is 6-2, and we're on a 2-game losing streak, and I am panicking because now, like, a lot of my guys are hurt, and I got to make some moves.
I think I'm one of the best teams. I have Bijan, J.K. Dobbins, and Chase Brown also, and Devontae Adams, Mooney, Smith and Jigba, and Marvin Harrison. I put in the wrong guys. And
stay healthy. Stay healthy.
I would have won last week. I would have been 3 places up, and I was heading into 4 o'clock hour, projected to win by 40.
Sunday is all misery. You're probably not old enough to bet, but wait till you start putting together these parlays that come one leg short. What else you got for us?
So just going to run through a few things. With the Nets, Keith, this team better stop winning.
I don't know why all you Nets fans want to lose so bad in the beginning of the year. There's plenty of time to lose. Enjoy it right now. They're probably going to sell these guys off. Let them win and let them sell these guys off at the deadline. Let them. It's early. It is so early, but I am cool with what I'm seeing out of the Nets.
Fine, I guess they get there. Then, Keith, with this Giants team, you know, they've become, as you know, as their father told me with the Mets back in June, irrelevant. My father was at the game with a few friends. Even though they weren't playing great, first half playing bad, he said, nobody boot. But this is just what you expect.
That's disheartening. You're beaten down as a fan. It's a foregone conclusion.
But they want Tommy DeVito. When I think of Tommy DeVito, the first thing that comes to mind is Jaden Daniels and how he's there for the next 10 years. And then, you know, you see Saquon Barkley running all over them. And just this team, just it feels so far away from being relevant. The offense is horrible. Jones, I don't even know what's up with him. And you don't even know which quarterback's actually going to be good next year. Guys moving up and down.
It's Cam Ward. It's Cam Ward. You don't want Shedeur Sanders and the Deion Sanders experience. You don't want Jalen Milroe, who I was accidentally last night referring to as Cam Ward, when we got into the conversation about how these quarterbacks need college reps to come into NFL situations and be thrust in week one. The more reps that a quarterback can get in college, the more defenses they've seen, the more plays that they've run, more situations they've been in where they're ready for the NFL, and they're never going to be ready for the NFL right away, but they're more prepared. That's why I look at Daniel Jones and all the reps that he's had in the NFL, and I'm like, how is he still making some of these same careless mistakes? I think you got to lose out to get Cam Ward, but I went through it last night on Tankathon. I'm like, there's a lot of teams with 2 wins right now. There's going to be a lot of teams trying to get Cam Ward. I think he's going to be the number one overall quarterback and maybe the number one overall pick. And then
it's also hard, you know, rooting for a team to lose, a team that you go for. But, you know, when
I would say this
really
too,
need the whole turnaround. And like, I barely watch the games anymore. Like, I look more at the, I'll start the game. And if it gets boring, I'd rather watch Red Zone. It's more entertaining to me with football going on. The Giants are boring.
Why be miserable? Why hate the experience? But
right.
But I'll also say this, and I said this before one of the breaks, like, I don't know, an hour ago. The trifecta is getting the GM, the quarterback, or the GM, the head coach, and the head coach picking his quarterback. Daboll hasn't been able to do that yet. And in theory, you want Cam Ward. There's so much more left in the college season, in the offseason, in the pro days, in the scouting combine. But, like, I would trust that Brian Daboll is good at identifying talent. I think he identified Jaden Daniels. You just couldn't get him. But I think if it's Quinn Ewers or if it's, I don't know. I just think once you start getting further away, you know, like Jalen Milroe is a project. He's a guy that got benched last year. He's going to have, you know, one full year of being the starter. That's not enough. But guys like Cam Ward, who started at, I don't know, Incarnate Ward and then transferred to Washington State and then transferred into Miami, and now everybody knows his name. Shedeur Sanders, who played at Jackson State, and now the last 2 years at Colorado, everybody obviously has known his name. Like, those two guys are going to be the top 2 guys because they have the arm talent and they have the experience. But you got to trust that Brian Daboll will get to pick his guy. But you can't do that if you're picking 8th. Like, you got to be in the top five to even be able to move up.
And even when you have these top picks, see, look, the first pick, look how it's worked out. Like, last year, Caleb Williams has played better. But, you know, it's the second guy that's looked better both years.
Yeah, and there was a lot of people saying that. And quietly, Michael Penix Jr. is glued to the bench. But I was saying last year, I thought Penix could win the Heisman over Jaden Daniels.
Played well, but May. Well, they've all played solid.
Bo Nix.
Caleb Williams, you're hoping to pop out more, but he was pretty bad this week against the Cardinals' defensive rush that probably like near last. Right now they had another guy, but the defense was getting kicked on the entire year.
Look out for J.J. McCarthy next year, too, when Sam Darnold gets his money somewhere else.
It's funny just hearing people discuss him going to the Giants. It's a very funny scene, and I think he just played bad. They're not a good offense.
He's not going to come back to New Jersey. He's not. There's going to be plenty of suitors for him.
Follow from that list. So, Jack Peterson, I think, so much should go as a small move, right? Taking away the big move, let's say, whoever it goes to. But he's power hitter. You put him at the DH. I'm guessing Martinez, I don't know if he's retiring, if he's coming back. And I'm very happy to see this news with McNeil, that they're projected to cut him. I mean, that would be amazing. I can't stand him. I know he had a good second half, but I talked to a lot of Mets fans with this. They can't stand him. I don't know who cut him short. There are a few that like him, the batting title, but
yeah, it's probably over.
Let another team get him. Let him go to the Cubs or something.
I would tell you this.
Good night. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for the call, Josh. The Mets should be focused on pitching, starting pitching. They have enough bats. They're going to have enough bats. They're going to be able to add bats. It's about going into the market and taking the top pitchers that you can get. That's what they needed. When you ended up in the postseason, you kind of got to see that, like, these guys that you were able to get through the season with, they're not aces. You need aces to get you through. You need a couple guys. And I know the Dodgers won with a bullpen game, but they still had great performances out of Walker Buehler, Yamamoto, and even Flaherty. Not every single time out. It's about pitching, man. If you have the pitching that can match your lineup, you can get to the Fall Classic. 888-808-1019. Call me up with your thoughts, whatever you want to get into the last 30 minutes of my show. BRB. Yeah, BRB.
Start some. America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll Alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Trouble and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Another one. Another five-hour KM to AM soon to be in the books. Again, I appreciate everybody that calls and everybody that doesn't call. Everyone that just kind of kicks back and listens. Whether you're at work, whether you're driving, whether you're at home. And you might be watching something on TV, listening to me talk in your headphones. I appreciate that. People that interact online as well. I said this last hour I'd make it open mic night as I traditionally do. And I've got one from the Twitter space. Shout out to my guy, Dre, at Dre_HNL. Haters never like. Dre is a big supporter of WFAN. I see him tweeting about all the shows. I take credit for bringing Dre in. But Dre said, here's an open mic Mets topic. So the Mets offered Pete Alonso the qualifying offer. Now, I know I have Google. However, if you could get to this on air, what does that mean for his future with the Mets? What does the qualifying offer mean in general? Well, from what I know, and I talked about this last night, you extend the qualifying offer to someone that is obviously on your team about to be a free agent, and if they go elsewhere, you get draft compensation for, you know, them leaving you and going elsewhere. So that the qualify, like Juan Soto got extended the qualifying offer. We know he's not taking the qualifying offer. Pete Alonso getting extended the qualifying offer. We know he's not taking the qualifying offer. The qualifying offer, I think, is like $21.05 million. Gleyber Torres didn't get that qualifying offer. Basically, you extend that to kind of protect yourself. It's a little bit of insurance for draft compensation in the event that your player goes elsewhere. That's what I know. I got to double check that or whatever. But then also, you know, it's a play. Like, I'm trying to think of who else was extended the qualifying offer and who wasn't. I know I had it in my notes a couple days ago, but Pete Alonso is not going to take that because he's going to get a longer-term deal. Yeah, let's see. Compensation for losing players who reject their qualifying offer. If a team gives a qualifying offer to a player who then signs elsewhere, that club that lost the player is eligible for a draft pick for draft pick compensation in the next year's MLB draft. So it's just a way of, all right, in the event that Juan Soto signs with the Montreal Expos and Pete Alonso signs with the Oakland Athletics, which can't happen because the Athletics are now just going by Athletics when they go play in Sacramento, you'll get draft compensation. But Pete Alonso is going to get money. Scott Boras is going to get money for him as well as Juan Soto. And you just send that little one-year qualifying offer. Let me think of a player. I know I wanted Didi Gregorius to get it some years ago, and he didn't get it. And I think with Gleyber Torres not getting it with the Yankees, it just says, you know, go test the market and, you know, see what you get. Like, Sean Manaea got offered the qualifying offer, I think. Or no, he opted out of his contract. But I think he still got the qualifying offer, and he's not going to take it. He's going to make more money. So, yeah, let me look up some of the qualifying offers that were out there in Major League Baseball. I know if I go back to my notes, I did have a running list that was put out there by Jeff Passan, and then I think I had one that was put out there by SpotRack. Yeah, here we go. Back to the handy-dandy notes. 13 MLB free agents received a $21.05 million qualifying offer, and here's the contract predictions for each. This is from SpotRack, at SpotRack, SpotTrack, SpoTrack. They're expecting Juan Soto to have a 12-year, $660 million contract. Corbin Burns to have a 7-year, $210 million contract. I'll skip some of the names that don't really have anything to do too much with us, potentially. Pete Alonso, 6 years, $175 million contract. Who else in there is interesting? Christian Walker, 3 years, $66 million contract. Luis Severino. Prove it year for Luis Severino. He's expected to have a 3-year, $45 million contract. So stay tuned for all of that. Let me see some other players that were issued that are interesting. Teoscar Hernandez, Anthony Santander, Max Fried, Willy Adames, Alex Bregman, Sean Manaea, who I mentioned. So, yeah, qualifying offer conversation. And that's something that I was like yesterday or maybe it was 2 nights ago. I'm like, I see people online reacting to the Gerrit Cole stuff with him opting out and people, oh, my God, we lose the World Series. They blow it in the fifth inning and Gerrit Cole opts out. I'm like, those two things are unrelated. He was opting out regardless. Like, Scott Boras was going to do that no matter what. But what we didn't expect was Brian Cashman to tell him, we're not adding a 10th year. You're going to just chill, and you're going to play out the rest of your contract, the 4 years, $144 million, and you're going to like it because you're not going anywhere, and we don't want to do that. And Scott Boras and Gerrit Cole said, yeah, you're right. You got it. Sharif is out on Staten Island. Sharif, you're on the fan.
Yo, what's up, Keith, man? I love hearing and listening to you, man. But, yo, the Yankees, right, is a multi-billion-dollar business, right?
Mm-hmm.
The people that own it, they're billionaires. Baseball has no salary cap, right?
Mm-hmm. There's a luxury tax, a Steve Cohen tax, but no.
Luxury tax. Okay, yeah. So you're taxing the rich. So, and the people that are paying for all these tickets, you know, some are rich, some are not, some are, like you said,
spending their college tuitions, kids'
yeah,
money.
Cracking into their
playoff
savings. People against their own will wanted to be in those World Series games, spent $2,000 to sit in the bleachers.
So, you know, the Dodgers, they spend big money. Back in the days when I was a kid, everybody was saying they're hating on the Yankees because they spent all the money and they got all the players. Well, you got to be just as bad as the Dodgers.
Right.
You know, and the reality of it is that the crazy part about it is that all these Major League Baseball teams are run by billionaires. So it ain't like they're broke. So it's just being cheap. So either you want to put something out there for people to come watch and see and have a good time and spend money and spend the money on food and drinks and tickets and clothes and all that stuff. So you can't be cheap. You want, it's like they say, you can't make money if you don't spend money. So they can't be half, three letters after that.
And, yeah, heard and you. And you can say that on the radio. We can say ass on the radio.
I've been a Yankee fan my whole life, and like you said, you don't have a pitcher that's throwing breaking balls in the ninth, in the eighth inning.
Tommy Canley. Change up,
like,
Tommy.
Come
I'm
on,
not,
dude,
not
like,
doing
come
that.
Come on. That type of pitch comes in the fifth, sixth inning. Like, you don't come in the eighth. Like, you come in with your closer. You've been coming with your closer in from the eighth and ninth inning.
It's do or die. They were facing elimination. Like, you didn't have to throw him there. Throw Weaver there and then throw anybody else. You're facing elimination. There is no tomorrow. I wouldn't have done that, but whatever. It is what it is, yo.
You know, that's one on the Yankees. But on the Giants, please. I hope, I just want to change the subject to the Giants. I hope they lose to Carolina. Like, you know, let the Titanic sink and try to get a real top.
I don't know. That's going to be bad. I mean, it will help your tanking purposes, but the equation I've put together is the Saints just fired Dennis Allen after losing to the Panthers. If the Giants go to Germany, all the way to Germany, and lose to Bryce Young and these Panthers, talk about the hot seat. There will actually be a hot seat with Brian Daboll, and then the conversation about does this guy deserve to keep his job is going to be a real convo, no matter what John Mara said.
But he'll probably be like 22-22 and to win the game at the 1 yard line, and he'll have just the center and Daniel Jones in the middle and everybody on the other side. Like, come on,
that formation.
Like, come on, dude.
Against the Steelers.
This is the NFL, man. This is not Pee Wee flag football. Like, it's like, come on.
Thanks for the call, man. 888-808-101. I forgot about that. Yeah, they've tried some things. They've tried some things, man. I don't know what to tell you. don't wish for them to lose to the Panthers. If there's one game that's winnable in this upcoming schedule, It's that one. You don't want to lose all the way in Germany. You go all the way to Germany to lose? No. It's a must win. And they can win. They have enough talent and coaching to win. And the Panthers beating the Saints last week should have really nothing to do with it. But it does. It does. The Panthers were almost 8-point underdogs, I believe. They were like 7.5-point underdogs. And the Saints found a way with Derek Carr coming back to lose. So, 888-808-1019. Yeah, like, the way that the Yankees lost this World, that's what I said. It's not that you lost the World Series, because once you went down 3-0, once you blew the first game, I'm like, not good. Once you went down 3-0, it was, in my opinion, I knew they were going to lose the World Series. And, like, I'm not proud of that. Like, I got a pushback from some random anonymous Yankee people on Twitter. Like, you quit. No, I didn't quit, stupid. I'm following history. It had never been done before. And I didn't think that this team was good enough to overcome a 3-0 deficit. Like, it wasn't that I quit. I called a spade a spade. I just processed reality. And, like, they did end up losing. But it's the way that they lost. The way you went out. Like, the way you went out, not just in that last game, game five, at game three, looking at pitches, the game one, taking Cole out after 88 pitches. He's on extra rest. Like, come on. There's too many things. A lot of you still mad at Nestor. I'm not even mad at Nestor. I'm mad that they thought that, like, after not pitching since September 18th, we're going to throw Nestor into the fire out of the bullpen when he's a starter. All right, I know. You know, to face Ohtani. And then since Ohtani hit that ball and Verdugo caught it and goes out of bounds, goes in the foul territory, rather, out into the seats. The runners advance. That opens up first base. You get cute. You walk Mookie Betts, and Freddie Freeman is, he's revitalized. That ankle is perfectly fine. He's sitting on the heater and makes you pay. Makes you pay. We will remember this forever. The only way to erase it is for the Yankees to come back and win a championship, and it's hard to do. It's hard to go to back-to-back championships. It's hard to go to back-to-back World Series. The Rangers and the Diamondbacks didn't make the dance. It's going to be tough to do, so we'll see. I would sign Juan Soto and then, you know, add some other pieces from there. Joe is out in Rockland. Joe, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how are you, Pete?
I'm good. How are you?
All right, okay. I just want to touch on the Yankees and Giants mainly. You know, everyone's annoyed about the World Series loss. I get that. You know, you got to get over it. There was, you know, there was a few positives that I would take out. The Judge has never been comfortable in the postseason. You know, he's a sub-200 average, you know, batting average in the postseason. The last two games, he was finally getting comfortable in his skin. You know, that being said, you know, finally, he learned how to deal with the pressure. You know, it's not a question if the Yankees, it's not a question. If the
he
Yankees
started to come out of it. That's what's discouraging, too, because we started to believe, hey, he could go to L.A. and hit a couple home runs. Who knows? Like, yeah.
It was discouraging for now, but the future, it's not a question if the Yankees are going to make it to the postseason. The question is how far they get. You know, finally, you saw that Judge was able to deal with the pressure in the postseason. It's the first time in his career that he started getting comfortable in the skin. You know, that gives us some hope for the future, my personal take. You know, then with all the postseasons and all that, like you were saying a few callers ago, you know, that you don't know who could handle the New York pressure. You know, Jacoby Ellsbury, Joey Gallo, all the big names, right? They were all the common denominator. They were all big names. They were all supposed to make a splash.
Carlos Rodon.
We have those. exactly. You know, they were all supposed to make a splash. We got those guys. We got Judge. Hopefully, we get Soto. Hopefully, you know, we got Gerrit Cole as a pitcher. We got Stanton. We need the good defensive players and the contact hitters. You know, we don't need all the, you know, all the power hitters. We don't need that. We got that. We need, you know, we need the, again, Alex Verdugo a few years ago. The DJ LeMay was a great example. He didn't have tremendous expectations when he came in because he was just going to be a role player kind of. You know what? He thrived because the expectations aren't so high. You know, he can live with it.
Yeah, and once they paid him, once they paid him, he kind of disappeared. He wasn't the same player ever again.
There goes the expectation, because the expectations are so high. Then, yeah, New York. Not everyone can deal with New York. The only thing with New York is because there's expectations. If the expectations are just make contact, I don't need you to hit 30 home runs.
So you're saying they don't need Soto?
No. Besides, they need more beef, you know. Soto is literally, he's the dream. He makes contact. He gets on base. He hits home runs.
I think they gotta bring him in. But we don't need to add a Pete Alonso.
Exactly, Pete Alonso. Why would you want Pete Alonso?
Another John Carlo that
plays first base.
I don't think there's any real, you know, interest there. But Cashman played into it today.
You know, like for example, I'll give you another example. You know, like with Torres. I'm good with letting Torres go. Have Oswaldo Cabrera play second every day.
Yeah, it's done. I mean, they're not. Somebody's going to pay Gleyber Torres, and it's not going to be the Yankees.
And you know, I was actually just thinking about this. I'm like, you know, again, I don't know that this would work, but don't forget, Jazz could play the outfield, right? He's a great outfielder. They could bring Gio Urshela back. You know, he's a contact hitter.
Gio is cooked. Thanks for the call, Joe. Gio is cooked. That ship has sailed. Cashman was asked today about Jazz playing center field. I'm trying to go back to Twitter and find it. Cashman said he hasn't had any conversations about Jazz Chisholm Jr. potentially playing center field next year, but added that he would prefer him on the infield, but he knows that he can play the outfield. Also added that he hasn't had any long-term conversations about Aaron Judge and his future in center field. Cashman's just going to say a bunch of stuff right now. He doesn't have to have these answers right now. That was from Brendan Cuddy, BK. I've had BK on. He writes for The Athletic, covering your New York Yankees. Let me take another call here before we wrap up the show. 888-808-1019 if you want to sneak in there. I've got one call left. This one's going to Ben in Howe on the Fan. What's up, Ben?
Hey, what's up, Keith? How's it going? Karen, today.
Yes, sir. It's going well.
Yes, sir. I bumped into you at the stadium a couple of times in the playoffs. You were real cool to me. Good to see you.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the love.
Yeah. So with the Knicks, I'm starting to get a little bit nervous with the clicking. You got to turn Cat into a dog. I know he's out of his previous experience with Minnesota, obviously, but they brought him in. They thought it was worth to get rid of DiVincenzo. But you, what do you hold with the Knicks? Where they at?
They're developing. They're working on their chemistry. It's a new team. It's not going to happen overnight. I think they're still going to be very competitive when they get to, you know, April, May, maybe even June. I know that they're signing guys. I saw the Matt Ryan signing, and I know they're working on bringing in some other guys in. I'll say this. There's a lot of talk right now around Mikal Bridges and what they gave up for Mikal Bridges and what he's been so far. The game last night, the most alarming part from the game last night was not the officiating, but the bench scoring. The bench was outscored 30-3. So it's like, you know, you can have superstars like Mikal Bridges, like Karl Anthony Towns, like OG Anunoby, like Jalen Brunson. But to get Karl Anthony Towns, right, you gave away Julius Randle, you gave away Dante DiVincenzo, who DiVincenzo was going to be a bench piece. You know, if Miles McBride doesn't have a good night, Miles McBride played 26 minutes. He went 0 for 9, 0 for 5 from deep. He didn't score a point. Like, that's bad coming off the bench.
To me, it's going to come down to OG. If OG's healthy, I think OG's the key on this team.
Yeah, you're going to have to add some pieces, though. You're going to have to, you know, get some other guys ready off the bench.
They should have the scoring. They should get the scoring. And Brunson's going to fill in. Mikal hopefully will pick it up. But OG on OB's defense and Josh Hart, obviously. And the problem with their bench. Last year, their bench was deeper in the playoffs. Right now,
they have no bench.
Pick up some players.
Thanks for the call, Ben. I mean, you just said it. Their bench was deeper, and they got hurt, and they still had somewhat of a bench. And their bench players became starters and the main guys. And this year, before the Karl Anthony Towns trade, you were looking at the team like, yo, we got Mikal Bridges. Now, you know, Josh Hart can go to the bench. DiVincenzo can go to the bench. Now Josh Hart is starting. DiVincenzo's not there. So these are things that happen. You got to give to get. I still think that the Karl Anthony Towns trade was needed, obviously with Mitchell Robinson not being available. And Isaiah Hartenstein dipping out, going to OKC to get his bag. You needed a bigger body. You needed a big. You needed to do something. And you added one of the best, like, bigs as far as scoring the basketball. I don't know. I just think it's going to take time. You can't expect them. It doesn't matter. That's another thing about the NBA. I think, like, we just are so, we're so ready to get the NBA back and so quick to react to the first. They played 6 games. Like, never show me the standings in the NBA in late October, November. It does not matter. So, but we'll do this exercise. I was having this conversation with someone else about the Nets. You just heard young Josh call and talk about the Nets gotta start losing. What? And I get it. Nets fans, now that we have our picks, we have the Bucks pick. And Nets fans are looking at the Bucks like, ooh, they're a last place team. They're 1-6. We've got their pick. Are they gonna trade Giannis? How's Dame going to be? I don't know. Like, it's early. It doesn't matter. They played 7 games. For the Nets to be 4-4, it's a pleasant surprise for me. They got a coach now. And they have enough veteran players like DFS, Dorian Finney-Smith. You hit it right on time. Are the Nets still in the league? I was about to start going down the Brooklyn Nets rabbit hole. People started to cut it off. Like, nah, no thanks. We don't care about Dennis Schroeder. Zoo-wop as a Knicks fan is like Ben Simmons? Get him up out of here. He's got to go. That was fun. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Coming up next, C-Mac, Chris McMonagle taking your calls for the midnight ride the next 5 hours to get you through the overnight. I appreciate it again. Keep McPherson on the Fan. KM to AM. I'm out of here. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9. There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.